In 1930s California, where Hollywood glamour meets coastal fog, danger lurks beneath the surface of Burning Cove's pristine beaches. When Anna Harris discovers her employer brutally murdered in Boston with the word run written in blood, her life transforms overnight. Fleeing with a mysterious notebook, several thousand dollars, and her employer's pearl-handled revolver, Anna reinvents herself as Irene Glasson and heads west on Route 66. The newspaper headlines confirm her fears. Her employer, Helen Spencer, a prominent research scientist, is dead, and her secretary is wanted for questioning. 4 months later, Irene has established herself as a reporter for Hollywood Whispers magazine until she discovers the body of starlet Gloria Maitland floating in the exclusive Burning Cove Hotel swimming pool, pulling her back into a deadly game she thought she'd escaped. Oliver Ward carries himself with the precise control of someone who understands illusion intimately. Once a celebrated stage magician whose career ended when his Cage of Death trick was sabotaged, he now owns the Burning Cove Hotel, creating different illusions for wealthy guests. When Irene's investigation threatens his hotel's reputation, their first meeting crackles with tension as they assess each other as both threat and potential ally. "I don't believe in coincidences," Oliver tells Irene during their first private conversation, his limp barely noticeable in his wood-paneled office. Their alliance works because their skills complement each other. Oliver's expertise in misdirection and reading people pairs with Irene's journalistic instincts. Their growing attraction is complicated by their pasts. Irene's manipulative former boss left her wary of powerful men, while Oliver's betrayal by someone close made him reluctant to trust. Yet in each other, they find someone who understands reinvention and the burden of secrets. The leather notebook Irene took from Helen Spencer's study initially appears to contain innocent scientific formulas. As bodies accumulate, its true significance emerges. Calculations for a revolutionary military device called a Rangekeeper, an early radar predecessor allowing ships to target enemies beyond the horizon. In the tense international climate of the late 1930s, such technology would give any military force a decisive advantage. Irene's life becomes a dangerous game of cat and mouse. Foreign operatives shadow her, while domestic intelligence agencies view her with suspicion. Helen's warning to trust no one, not even the FBI, takes on new urgency as Irene finds herself caught between powerful forces willing to kill for these secrets. When Julian Enright arrives in Burning Cove, representing his father's prestigious law firm, his respectable facade conceals darker motives. His pursuit of Irene masks his true objective, acquiring the notebook to auction to the highest bidder among foreign powers. The contrast between California's carefree playground for the wealthy and the deadly stakes of military secrets creates compelling tension throughout. Burning Cove operates on a strict social hierarchy, with clear boundaries between privileged guests and the local workforce. Spanish colonial architecture houses exclusive clubs where the wealthy conduct their affairs privately, while morning fog conveniently obscures uncomfortable truths. Irene's investigation reveals Gloria's complicated relationship with Nick Tremaine, Hollywood's newest leading man. His carefully crafted image as a handsome war hero turned actor begins crumbling under scrutiny. The studio system's control manifests through Ernest Ogden, a fixer whose pleasant demeanor conceals ruthless efficiency. Through bribes, threats, and occasionally permanent solutions, Ogden protects the studio's image. "In this town," a bartender tells Irene, "careers end with a whisper, not a bang." Irene discovers connections between Gloria's death and other suspicious drownings, her predecessor at Whispers magazine, Peggy Hackett, and a Seattle waitress named Betty Scott. All three women had ties to Tremaine, suggesting a pattern of eliminating threats to his image. In Hollywood's golden age, truth isn't merely inconvenient, it's potentially lethal. "The secret to a successful illusion," Oliver explains to Irene while showing his magic props, isn't making the audience look where you want them to, it's making them not look where you don't want them to. This principle permeates the entire story. Gloria's death is staged as a swimming accident, with strategically placed wine bottles suggesting intoxication. Nearly every character hides behind a carefully constructed identity. Irene has methodically reconstructed herself to escape her past. Nick Tremaine was once Archie Guthrie before the studio reinvented him. Claudia maintains the perfect facade of a devoted assistant while plotting revenge. Julian presents himself as a tennis-playing socialite rather than the calculating killer he truly is. When Oliver and Irene turn the tables on Julian, they use his own tactics against him. They stage an elaborate fake accident, creating the opportunity for Julian to steal what he believes is the notebook. When Julian steals Oliver's Bentley to escape, he doesn't realize the vehicle has been sabotaged, the ultimate misdirection leading to his fatal crash on the coastal road. The novel explores different forms of obsession through its characters. Henry Oakes represents the dangerous fan whose fixation on protecting Nick Tremaine has twisted into something pathological. He stalks the star and confronts perceived threats, believing he shares a special friendship with Tremaine despite never having met him. Julian Enright's obsession manifests as addiction to hunting human prey. Unlike typical hired killers who view murder as business, Julian finds almost sexual pleasure in stalking and killing. His privileged background has allowed him to indulge his darkest impulses without consequences, creating a predator who believes himself untouchable. The most complex obsession belongs to Claudia Picton, actually Nick Tremaine's ex-wife, forced into divorce to maintain his eligible bachelor image. Her fanatical protection of his career stems from frustrated ambitions and plans to blackmail the studio using compromising films from Nick's past. When confronted, Claudia begs Nick for protection, believing their shared history will save her. Instead, he coldly dismisses her as just an assistant who is replaceable, revealing how disposable people become in Hollywood's ruthless hierarchy. Despite its dark themes, The Girl Who Knew Too Much offers hope for rebuilding life after trauma. Both Irene and Oliver have experienced profound betrayals that forced them to reinvent themselves. Their romance blossoms from a shared understanding of reinvention and the courage to be vulnerable again. When Oliver shows Irene his stored magic props, artifacts from his former life, it becomes a metaphor for how we carry our pasts while creating new identities. This vulnerable moment leads to their first intimate encounter, symbolizing how true connection requires revealing the authentic self behind constructed facades. The novel's final chapter brings this theme full circle as the now married couple returns Atherton's notebook to Saltwood Laboratory. Unlike Irene's previous desperate flight west, this return trip becomes a leisurely honeymoon drive. This time, Irene says, looking at the highway ahead, we're going home. In a world of illusions, they've found something real in each other, proving that even after shattering betrayals, it's possible to rebuild trust by sharing your past with someone who sees beyond the facade to the truth beneath.